Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against you, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now, we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke of one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This too is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please rise for the Alleluia and verse. According to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. There followed Jesus, a great multitude of the people, and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For they do not do these things when the wood is green. What will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of our Lord.
It's not fair. You can hear the stomping feet. You can feel the agitation that's coming from deep within the soul. You see the burning glare and the pouting mouth. And it doesn't matter if you have been as fair as you could possibly be. You'll never convince the offended party of that. It's not fair, is the complaint of God's people against their God in our Old Testament reading from Malachi. And yes, the last 100 years have been tough for God's people. They had been judged and punished for their blatant rejection of him and his ways. They were exiled to Babylon for 70 years. Yet, God has now faithfully brought them back home, just as he had promised ahead of time. His people are back in Israel. Yeah, there's a problem. The Jerusalem had been reduced to a pile of rubble, and the temple had been destroyed. They needed to start over, which they did. The temple was rebuilt. The walls around the city were restored, not to their former glory, but they were restored. Things seem like they're finally coming together again for God's people. Except, yet once again, the people are turning away from God. And so we hear through Malachi, "Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord." But they say, "How have we spoken against you?" Well, the people have been sinning against God, flat out rejecting the call to live in a right relationship with him. The fact is, the people were ignoring the word and covenant of God. Even the priests themselves were failing to teach what was right and wrong. Their worship, well, it was done with thanklessness. Their sacrifices, they were only offering the blame, the blind and the lame animals. And most of all, they were saying, "It is vain to serve God. What profit is in our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts?" The people didn't think it was fair to be a child of God. They wondered, why bother following Yahweh at all? What's in it for them? What did they get out of being a believer? Why even bother with the sacrifices of repentance for their sins? If they did not get some immediate benefit, then what's the point? Oh, and then there's this. "And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and escape." There were people doing terrible things, And they just seemed to get away with it. The people were finally back in their promised land, but their rejection of God seemed like it was no big deal. These people just went on living their lives, doing what they wanted to do, and it seemed like nothing bad ever happened to them. For Malachi and the people around them, things just did not seem fair. And for us today, the words continue to ring true in our ears. Even though Malachi was writing around 430 BC, we can certainly relate to this. We live in the midst of a people who does not know right from wrong. The examples we have are all around us and go on and on, on and on. We can look at the laws and the policies of our country. We even have people who know and love that have no idea that they're sinning. And in the specific context of Malachi, there are a lot of people who are just too busy for Jesus, have all sorts of excuses to ignore God and His assembly, and yet somehow think that by having a name on a membership roll, they're protected, magically saved. And of course, there is the me-centered culture. The me-centered culture that starts with me. It impacts us all. We're tempted to always wonder, what's in it for us? Especially when we've been trying to be faithful and terrible things still happen. We're tempted to think, that's not fair. In those dark moments, we can wonder, what is even the point? I've been reading my Bible. I've been assembling with the saints. I've been praying, and yet bad stuff keeps happening. Come on. What's in it for me? Or we look around at some of the people who are not faithful, who are actually acting and behaving in very unchristian ways. And they seem to be just fine. In fact, it seems like by their life, they're actually challenging God to do something about their sin, but they're getting away with it. No flashing fire from the sky, so hey, everything must be good with what I'm doing. On this side of heaven, there are a lot of things that just don't seem fair. So it is a very good thing how God's words to Malachi are just as true for us today. After all, God is fair. In fact, perfectly fair. He is in control. He is perfectly just and righteous. As Malachi records, then those who feared the Lord, those who feared Yahweh, spoke with one another. You see, it's so easy to overlook some of the most basic gifts that God gives in this world, including this. God had given His people each other. God gives us each other. The Israelites who felt the world around them was not fair, they were all in the same boat. God didn't leave them all alone adrift. He gave them each other. Even if the numbers seem small and dwindling, God still had His faithful people. And they spoke with one another. And they comforted each other with God's promises. For us, we are not alone. He does give us each other. All of us are in the same boat. We all live in a sinful world. We all struggle with sin and troubles in our lives. But we can speak with one another. We can comfort one another with God's promises. We are even to help each other to know right from wrong. Whether it's the laws and policies of our society, whether people have turned their back on God's church, or the corruption of the me focus. We're in this together. Malachi continued, "The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared Yahweh and esteemed his name." For those Israelites who God felt was not being fair, Malachi reassures them how God knows. God knows exactly who his people are. He knows exactly what they are going through. So much so, it is as if he has written it before him in a book of remembrance. And then he promises, "They shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him." And that promise is the nugget of hope that helps us cope with the unfairness of life. God promises that he will take up his treasured possession. I just recorded services and sermon for Main Street Living just a week ago. It's going to air in July. But in that service and sermon, I'm preaching on two of Matthew's very short kingdom parables, the treasure of the field and the pearl of great price. The only reason I mention is this connection between what God says through Malachi and promises through Malachi and what Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven. God promises here in Malachi that he will take up his treasured possession. And what did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Who is this man who joyfully sells all that he has to buy that field for the sake of the buried treasure? That man is Jesus. You see, God knows very clearly what it is that we are going through because his son has experienced it. Jesus lived in an unfair world. As we start our approach to Christmas, we can think of how it seems pretty unfair that the creator of the universe has to be born into it in the lowliest of circumstances. That the one in whom and through whom everything lives and moves and has its being, he's got to learn to walk. He's got to learn to talk. He's got to be a child obedient to his parents. But he did this joyfully for us. It's not fair that even though he did nothing wrong, he would be accused of being a blasphemer, that he'd be accused of being crazy, that he'd be accused of being a heretic. Yet he endured all of this for us, still living in a perfect obedience to God's word and to God's law his whole life through. Then in the greatest unfairness, he took his perfect obedience to the cross to be the once-for-all sacrifice. An incredible unfairness. The sinless one became the sinner. As if there is not a single other sinner in the world, he becomes the sinner for us. Even though it was not one bit fair to him, Jesus did this for us. He had done nothing wrong. He did not deserve any of it. Can you imagine those temptations being shouted at him? If you are the Christ, the Son of God, save yourself. But this is exactly how much he loves us. He didn't save himself. He paid the price for us, his treasure buried in a field. In fact, he joyfully gave up everything to buy the whole farm, The dilapidated barn, the rundown house, the collapsing shed, the rusty, broken down tractor. Jesus comes and dies for the whole world to gain us as his treasured possession. On Easter morning, indeed, the Lord took up his treasured possession. And he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, he did so that he might spare us. One day, he will return. As Malachi records, then once more, you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. One day, God will set everything right. All the things in this life which seem unfair will be made right. In Jesus, we are God's treasured possessions. Through faith, God will spare us and make it clear that he is the one who is perfectly fair. And in the resurrection, then, nothing bad will ever happen to us again. And it will be clear how those who thought they were getting away with it will actually not be getting away with anything. For God knows, and God judges accordingly. Since we are his treasured possession through faith, then we have nothing to worry about. In fact, the resurrection will be perfect for us forever. There are days on this side of heaven that do not seem fair. And when we're tempted to stomp our feet and scream, "It's not fair," instead, we look to the cross to see our Savior bearing every unfair sin, and we look to the resurrection with the confidence that the unfairness of this life is perfectly fixed in Christ our Savior. Amen. And may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.